Welcome to the Social Impact Solutions podcast, where we help mission-driven leaders measure and market their social impact so they can raise more money and do more good. I'm Lauren.
And I'm John Mark. Together, we bring you expert insights, practical strategies, and real-world stories to help you create more meaningful and measurable change. This podcast is designed for purpose-driven leaders. So let's dive in, explore what's possible, and take your mission to the next level.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Social Impact Solutions podcast. I'm really excited to be here with Deanna Clark today, one of our team members and one of my longtime friends. And so I'm excited about today's podcast. I know it's going to be a great conversation. And I'm also really excited because this is the first episode of a new series. And so we are starting our Meet the Team series. We definitely want our podcast audience to know more of our team members. Social Impact Solutions continues to grow. We've added a few team members over the last few months, and we're super excited to start off this series with Deanna. So Deanna, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Doing well, Lauren. Thanks for having me. Really excited for our conversation today.
Absolutely. I'm super excited as well. Really appreciate you being here and doing so much with our team. And so with that, I would love to turn it over to you, hear a little bit more about your background, your professional experience, and just introduce you to our podcast audience.
Yeah, absolutely. No, again, I'm excited to be here and really count it as an honor to be a part of the Social Impact Solution team. So as Lauren shared, I'm Dr. Deanna Clark. I am actually by a professional background, I am an occupational therapist. So I've been an OT for over 10 years and have really enjoyed a clinical career where I get to serve patients and do a really wide variety of things in my clinical profession. And with that, I went on to pursue a doctorate in public health. So I know we'll kind of get into that a little bit more, my connection here at Social Impact Solutions. But yeah, I completed my doctorate in public health. And so I've really been excited to make the connections between occupational therapy and public health and see how I can better serve not only patients, but communities. So yeah, that's kind of the oversight of my professional journey.
Amazing. Yes, like you said, we'll definitely get into more of our connection, but would love for you to give people a better understanding of really what drove you to maybe to OT, occupational therapy in the first place, if you want to explain that, and then also what led to your transition from OT to a doctorate in public health, sort of the connection points for you, as well as maybe what you were experiencing as an occupational therapist that you wanted to change up for yourself a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this question because I think the connection between occupational therapy and public health is so not only exciting, but clear to me, but I can recognize for some listeners, them asking, how did she get there? So I was introduced to occupational therapy actually through my grandmother, who was an occupational therapy assistant for the state of Kansas many, many years ago. So very honored to kind of follow in her footsteps as my initial introduction into occupational therapy. Fast forwarding to my college years, I was reintroduced to occupational therapy and was really intrigued by the connection between physical health, mental health, social health, community health that really encompasses occupational therapy. And really at the heart of OT, it's kind of in the name, occupations. Many people may hear that term and say, oh, so do you help people get jobs? And the short answer would be no, but rather the term occupations really refers to what we do every day to live. Right? So at a very base level, we wake up every day, we get dressed, we brush our teeth, we get out the house. Maybe for some of us, we drive, go engage in meaningful careers or take care of our families. There are so many different things that make up just the life that we live, right? And so with occupational therapy, we are charged with the opportunity to help people get back to their occupations or the things that are meaningful for them. And so in my professional path, I have done that in a hospital setting where I have served patients who are critically ill, really, really sick in the ICU, and really getting them back to the basic things that help them to live the life that they did before, hopefully. So that's kind of my intro and my journey with occupational therapy. And how that connects to public health, really the heart, of course, of OT is serving the individual and recognizing how we can get them from point A to point B with the things that make up their life. And public health really does the same, but just on a community level, right? So public health really looks like, how can I help this community, this population? So that can be maybe a city or a certain group of people, et cetera. How can I help this group of people, this population or community, get back to their level of quality of life? So in my mind, it's really a natural progression from occupational therapy to public health, from serving the individual to serving communities that I'm passionate about. I'm really passionate about the well-being of healthcare providers, especially in light of the disparities, mental health disparities specifically, that came out of the COVID-19 pandemic for healthcare providers. And so as an OT, really intrigued at looking at things like compassion fatigue, stress, burnout as a population that I serve from a public health perspective. So that's kind of the connection there. And I'm really excited to continue to have those conversations about how clinicians can really serve on a population level.
Awesome. Thanks, Deanna. Absolutely see the connection between occupational therapy and public health from my perspective as well. And what you were outlining, I feel like resonates with me also, just my interest in a lot of the lifestyle components and overall health that is different than occupational therapy, for sure, but more of the lifestyle medicine, lifestyle behavior, chronic disease prevention pieces that I think we all see so much overlap with in any form of healthcare and public health. So thank you for that introduction and just a little bit more insight into your professional experiences. This next question here is more of, how did you learn about social impact solutions or get connected with social impact solutions? And so I'm happy for you to share your side of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, we met at the very beginning of our DRPH program, of course, attending the same program together. And I believe we got connected on maybe a school project, really at random. We must not have known each other. But since then, really immediately connected and really felt aligned with just our work styles. But also, as you just mentioned, I quickly found out that we had a lot of aligned interests just in terms of lifestyle medicine and lifestyle improvement and just some of those areas, even though you had a little bit of a different background than I did. So I think that was our initial connection points, but I think what was more obvious to me was just our work styles and the things that we were passionate about was an easy connection point. So fast forward, I believe some years later, it must have been, I learned more about social impact solutions and was really intrigued just with the training that we were both receiving for our doctorate in public health about how social impact solutions was moving forward and some of the work that was being done from a strategic planning perspective. And of course, from an impact measurement perspective, which is exactly what we were being trained for in our DRPH. And so I don't know the exact timeline, but I know some years into our time together as colleagues, but also as budding friends, you graciously gave the invitation to join and just do some consulting work to help social impact solutions move forward. So it's been a great ride since then. And yeah, it's just been a great opportunity. But we'd love to hear your side of that story. Yeah. What was kind of your perspective?
But like you outlined, Deanna and I were classmates when we were working through our DRPH, Doctorate in Public Health program through Loma Linda University in Loma Linda, California. And I think it was our very first class or one of the classes that we had our first quarter. I think we were randomly assigned into a group project together. And that's how we really got to know each other. And I think from there on, every quarter, we opted to work together. So definitely really appreciate your work ethic, just your overall demeanor, super positive, very team oriented, and have just always been really easy to talk to, really easy to get along with. And so, yeah, I do. I consider you a very good friend and really appreciate all that you have added and contributed to my life over the last 4.5 years, because it was a long ride. So truly can't say enough great things about you. And yeah, it's also been an honor to have you as a team member at Social Impact Solutions. We've really appreciated everything you've contributed, which leads me to my next question for you. If you wanted to just outline what your initial role or roles looked like with our team and how that's kind of evolved, and just talk through what you're doing with us at this point.
Yeah. So when I first started on a consultant basis, was really working on impact measurement deliverables on the impact side. So in my mind, kind of the strategic planning deliverables, so logic models, theories of change, stakeholder research that would inform those deliverables as well, was a large part of the consultant work that I did in the beginning. And that was really fun. I think I was able to really use the training that I had from the DRPH and apply that directly to the nonprofit clients. So did that for some time. And then sometime last year, had the great opportunity to transition more exclusively, actually, to this platform here with the podcast, which has really been an exciting transition to understand how we can help our community measure their impact and do more good, right? So really have been excited to expand the podcast, grow the podcast for the sake of providing value. I think for you, Lauren, and of course, John Mark as well, that value proposition has been clear with the podcast, but we're not just here to, you know, make fun content and hope that it's entertaining, but rather really allow our listeners to walk away with value. Yeah. After listening to this podcast, you can now do X. You now understand X better, right? And so I've really been honored with the opportunity to be the behind the scenes for the podcast, just from a production standpoint, some planning elements as well, and really excited to see how things will grow.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we've greatly appreciated every aspect of your involvement and the most recent transition to being our true podcast producer has been so greatly appreciated. We started the podcast late 2024, early 2025. So a little over a year ago, and, you know, had a lot of great conversations, a lot of great guests on the podcast. And at some point, probably Q3 of last year, just realized that we needed more support in the podcast world. And you've done an amazing job with all of that, Deanna. It's been so helpful. You've made our conversations, I think, more fun and light. I know that I especially, but John Mark and I really value driven, and that's great, but we massively appreciate you stepping into this role and this platform that people are getting to listen to right now. So you have already outlined this a little bit, but would love to just circle back and hear a little bit more of your perspective on how your background, whether that's academics, professional experiences, even personal experiences, also knowing you a little bit more, your volunteer experiences as a board member, and how that has shaped your perspective and insights on nonprofit strategic planning, impact measurement, program evaluation, and a lot of those pieces that we execute for our clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this question. The conversation around impact measurement, strategic planning, I'll be honest, at least for myself, can feel a little daunting. They're impactful words. And so I can imagine someone who is new to this space, whether it be nonprofit, impact measurement, even strategic planning, how those words can feel a little whelming. But from my perspective, being able to use all my different experiences, not only professionally, but to your point, personally, really has helped me to understand on a ground level what impact measurement is about, and more importantly, why it's important. And so when I think about my experience as a clinician, as an occupational therapist, we are measuring, right, the progress of our patients, and then therefore communicating that to patients, their families, their team members, and even insurance providers. So being able to measure progress or measure impact is extremely important, not only in the nonprofit space, but also in the healthcare space, et cetera. Yeah. And then, as you mentioned, I am honored to be a board director for a nonprofit organization. So I do have some boots on the ground experience there. And it's an organization that specifically targets dismantling mental health barriers for help seeking for healthcare providers. And from that perspective, really understanding the value of strategy. And so I know with Social Impact Solutions, we look at impact measurement, of course, but we look at it from an impact perspective and a growth perspective. So how can we measure our impact, but also how can we grow our organization so that we can ultimately serve more and do more good? And so being able to serve in board director positions and just being integrated into a nonprofit myself, I really see how extremely important that is. And ultimately just being evidence-based. I think the evidence of the work that we're doing is really important. And I know for those of us who are bleeding hearts or nonprofits who just want to do the work and not worry about the other side can totally understand that. But when it comes to raising funds and really being able to expand our reach, we have to just measure our impact. We have to even understand our impact. And so, yes, it's been an honor to use my different areas of professional experience to contribute to why it's important to measure impact and strategic planning. And I think all the different hats that I wear have been helpful in that.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Obviously, I agree with what you're saying, and I'm biased. I think you very well articulated, you know, our standpoint, where we're coming from at Social Impact Solutions as a team. And you noted that, you know, the people that just want to do the good work. I hope it never comes across that our team is belittling that, because there's so much value to the way that certain people are just innately driven by justice and just the better good, the greater good. But to your point, it's not even for funders or external stakeholders that you know, have to measure your impact and understand the progress being made, but internally, right? Internal team members, whether it's a nonprofit founder, an executive director, other team members, board members, understanding the real change or lack thereof that is or is not being created, it has to be known, right? It would be like if in the healthcare world, a new drug or a new therapy or a new procedure was created and we never tracked the progress, the change that it was creating, A, it would never be approved and be on the market, thankfully, or likely it wouldn't be. But that means that, you know, people are receiving treatment or taking a prescription that is maybe harmful, or it's definitely not improving their, for instance, blood glucose, or it's not reducing their cholesterol when that's the thing it's supposed to do. If that's not being measured, then why is it quote unquote in use? And I think that's what we're trying to convey is, you know, A lot of good is typically being done by nonprofits and their programs. So let's measure that, report on that, and grow and scale that. And then the areas where there are gaps, you know, whether it's negative results or just neutral results, you know, being aware of that too and shifting and filling those gaps. And so I think you articulated that very well, is my point. As we kind of wrap up here, would love to hear how you think that future aspects of your career and even your role with Social Impact Solutions, how you feel like that is going to play into the nonprofit impact space, strategic planning space. Just would love to hear sort of what your future goals and endeavors look like and how that may or may not translate into the nonprofit sector.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think with my different experiences, it gives me a wide view or scope of all the opportunities that are out there to ultimately make impact, which I think is really important for me. And so that kind of tracks for my, again, experience as an OT here at Social Impact Solutions and just some of my work with nonprofit organizations. And so I think the short answer to your question is, how can I make meaningful impact using my clinical lens, but also my public health lens, and kind of bridging that gap to help communities? And again, I'm super passionate about, of course, occupational therapist, meaningfully biased towards that population of practitioners, not only in the US, but around the world, but really looking at healthcare providers again and understanding how I can bridge the gap between helping move that population forward. And so really here at Social Impact Solutions, you know, in terms of the podcast, it kind of all tracks the same of just getting the word out and helping communities to understand what resources are available to them and how to get access to assistance, because we can't do the work alone. And maybe there's a nonprofit leader listening to this episode and wondering, like, how do I make progress? What can I do in 2026 to move things forward? And then you find the Social Impact Solutions podcast, and that was your vehicle to moving things forward. And so whatever avenue I can use with my experiences, of course, here with the podcast is one vehicle, but there are many vehicles to just make progress and ultimately make impact. So I know that wasn't an incredibly granular answer, but it's a genuine one, and that I hope that the work that I do makes measurable impact, no pun intended, but it makes measurable impact on the communities that I serve.
Awesome. That's amazing. Well, I'm excited to see what continues to transpire with your career. I know you've already accomplished a lot and have excelled. And so I have no doubt that you will continue to make a huge impact on the people you serve, that you will be just a bright, joyful, meaningful person for people to connect with in any capacity. And I would say that you've absolutely been that to me and our friendship. So I really appreciate your time, Deanna. I really appreciate today's interview. I'm excited to interview other team members. I know that will be a ton of fun. But as we kind of wrap up here, another fun piece that you've added to this series and that we might add to other series in the future is the rapid fire this or that round. Love this fun component that you've added. So as we wrap up here, just a few more things that I will probably even get to learn about Deanna. We'll go through our this or that list and see which Deanna chooses, this or that. So, Deanna, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. We'll start with the first one that is a little bit more social impact solutions driven. Qualitative stories or quantitative data?
Oh, absolutely. Qualitative stories. I love a good story. I love stories of transformation. I know we promote that a lot here at Social Impact Solutions. So, yeah, definitely qualitative stories.
I would have guessed that for you. Definitely. Morning meetings or afternoon deep work?
Ooh, that's actually a great question. Afternoon deep work. Mm-hmm. I think I'm fully alert at that point and certainly driven by getting things done before the end of the day. So I think the afternoon deep work really reflects where I shine.
Cool. We're opposites on that, but that's awesome. Yeah. Structured to-do list or organized chaos?
Oh, 100% structured to-do list. If I could show you the amount of to-do lists I have and checklists and metrics that I track my success. So definitely structured to-do list.
Nice. Same. Let's see. Talking it out or thinking it through first?
I like that one. I would say thinking it through first. I am a unconventional introvert. A lot of people may be surprised about that, but I think I'd like to think things through and then probably talk it out after.
Nice. One big project or lots of smaller ones?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say a lot of smaller projects. I think it helps me to feel like there are multiple things being accomplished at once. And likely from a project management standpoint, it may serve an overall program from a bigger project or program perspective. So yeah, maybe smaller ones.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Tea. tea. I've been really obsessed with Earl Grey tea and lavender tea lately. I'm pairing those. If you haven't tried it, please do so. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll say tea.
Nice. I'm more coffee, but I'm with you on the lavender. I've been on a lavender latte kick lately.
Yes.
this is a good one for you. Podcasts or books?
Not saying this from a biased perspective, but truly podcasts. I love podcasts. I listen to them daily. And yeah, I really like a good podcast.
That's why you're a podcast producer. City Energy or Nature Reset?
Ooh, Nature Reset for sure. I 100%. Love a good trip to the beach, mountains, trees, flowers, all of that type of thing. So I'd say a Nature Reset any day.
Nice. And then last, but certainly not least, a very important question, sweet or savory?
Yeah, I'm definitely a sweet girl. So love the sweets.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Deanna. This has been a great conversation. I truly am really excited to get this episode published out in the world for people to hear more about you. I'm also really excited for John Mark and I to get to interview other team members, share their stories as well. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for all you've contributed to Social Impact Solutions. And I'm excited to share this episode with everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Lauren.